You know, we're, that last song was a really good song to worship. What a wonderful Father we have, don't we? And I look at him in my life, and I don't know, what do you do without him? I look at all the things that's happened in my life. As a kid, I was sickly. My dad, they didn't know what to do with me, and the Lord finally showed them a medication I could take that would save my life. Go through life, different things have happened. When I was living in Portland working for Fred Meyer for a number of years, I got on a motorcycle and thought I'd jazz it up and went around a corner and ran into a fence. And God spared me out of that and just bruised my hand and destroyed my bike. Came out alive. You know, Papua New Guinea, we were over there. I was riding, I'd been traveling about 40, 50 miles to go to Bible school a couple times a week and riding on a motorcycle and going around a corner, and a guy was on my side of the road and should have been head-on collision. I should have been dead. And how I missed the two headlights and just scraped along the side of his truck, broke my little finger and my toe and got spun on the ground, and that was it. I saved, you know, 2 weeks before, another missionary kid got killed head-on collision with the truck. You know, how God spared my life. And I could give you story after story of my Heavenly Father saving me. I got a brain infection, and fortunately, just at the right time, had an operation on my brain, and they took out the infection out of my brain and left me without any problems. You know, sometimes that doesn't happen. But, you know, one of the things that I know is that whatever happens, my Father, He's with me. My Father is with me. He'll never forsake me, never leave me. And sometimes when the tough times come, I just have to say, Lord, what's going on? And, you know, He's there and He says, just hold my hand. Just wait on me. Don't worry. You know, we've all had all different type of fathers. Some of you have not had good fathers. Some of you have had stepfathers and you've been abused and hurt. And, you know, today, if that's what's happening and you're hurting, don't be afraid to come up and let us pray for you. But you didn't deserve that. I remember I gained a great heritage from my grandfather. My grandfather was a lay evangelist. His father wanted him to be a farmer back in Tennessee around the Nashville area. And he wanted to be a preacher. And he said, you don't want to be a preacher because preachers are poor and they can't hardly feed their family. So they tried to make him be a farmer. And then about that time, the Depression came and wiped out the farm. So he moved his whole family to Southern California. His name was Pop. We called him Pop. He was a very gymnastic type of guy. He could walk on his hands. He was so athletic, we'd get on his back and he'd go romping on his hands and feet with us on his back. One time he was goofing around and, you know, these wooden lawn chairs that sort of reclined back, and he would jump those, land on his hand for, like running like an antelope. He'd get up on a ladder and hand on his hands with his feet in the air, and he would go all the way up that ladder. And one time he did it on a wood ladder, and you know where the paint bucket stands, he's going to put his head on there and rest and do his handstand up there, and the crazy ladder broke. And I remember that as a young kid of probably about 6 or 7. Just a crazy guy. The other thing about my grandfather, talking about leaving, you know, he left us a legacy. He took me one time to a grocery store. He says, let's go shopping, Phil. So my grandfather, there he is. I'll tell you about the story about his picture there. He took me to this grocery store, and right there in the grocery store, he cornered the produce man. He cornered the produce man, and he said to the produce man, he says, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? I mean, right there in the store, he started evangelizing this guy. Where would you go? Do you know if you'd go to heaven? Or are you going to go to hell? And I'm pulling on my grandfather's arm. Come on, grandfather, let's get out of here, you know. And that's the way he was. He left me a legacy. And so every time I'm not out there, and I'm not an evangelist. You know, there's others that are evangelists. And so, but sometimes we have to evangelize. And when a person's hurting, that's our opportunity. I remember being in convention in L.A. When I was a missionary, I came to L.A. They had the convention there. And I sat down next to a guy who had been a supervisor in the Philippines. His name was, see if I can find it here, Swan. It's not important. Anyway, he had been a Filipino supervisor. So I mentioned what my name was, Franklin. And then I said, by the way, I wanted to know, had you ever met a guy back in the 50s, a bald-headed guy? His name was Franklin. He used to walk on his hands, and he used to have false teeth, and he'd stick his false teeth out upper and lower and make these type of motions. And he would come into the, and he says, yeah, I know the guy. He got, the supervisor, he got so excited. He says, yeah, I remember him. He'd come in on his hands, walking on his hands, and then he'd get up and he'd start clicking his teeth and dancing, and the whole village would come to him. He'd draw a crowd, and then he'd sit down and start telling about Jesus. You know, what is your heritage? What is the example that your grandfather and your father? My father was a minister. My grandfather, when he moved to L.A., he started an auto parts store. He started by pulling Red Flyer wagon and selling gates, fan belts, and hoses. And later he made enough money where he bought a store. He bought actually several stores and had an auto parts business. And my father was the manager. But my father had the same bug as my grandfather, and he wanted to be a minister. And in 1950, he left the business and he became a minister. But my father, as his father was, he was a strict disciplinarian. I remember as a kid, almost every day getting spanked with a belt. I mean, spare the rod and spoil the child, man. Anybody ever had that happen in your life? And so I learned by the strong arm and discipline. And one thing I remember, though, out of it is I grew up having an inferiority complex. And I always wondered, if because I was told I was a bad boy today, if that's how I grew up. You know, there's pros and cons of everything that we do. You know, my dad was a jack of all trades. He could get a car, and he's like a mechanic. He could work on that. Later, when he was a minister for the Churches of Christ, he moved out to Cherry Valley, Beaumont, California. He built his own house. He got a stonemason, then brick house, and he built his own house. This guy, my dad, was an example for me that if there's something that needed to be done, he would do it. And so he taught me that to be self-reliant, to not have to wait on everybody, worry on anybody, but get out there and do a good job and do it yourself if you need to. If you didn't know how to do it, then you go study and find out how to do it. There's another man I met when I was just graduating from high school. I was dating a girl when I lived in San Diego. And her father was a VP for Convair Airlines. He was a VP in the aeronautical industry. And one thing I knew about him was that he loves his family. And it's the way he treated his family. And I got invited over for dinner, and I was loved. I was pampered. They took us out to dinner. And he was the type of guy that you'd always want to be like. You always want to be around. And then years later, I met another person who was just the opposite of him. And this fellow was a little bit difficult to get along. You always felt like he was condescending towards you. It seemed like you could never say the right word, and you always had to prove yourself to him. You know, fathers, they leave an impression on our life. They can affect us as children. They can affect them how we act in life and what we do. Today, I want to talk to you about our Father. I want to talk to you about, as I mentioned, our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who tries to do everything good for us if we will let Him. You know, we as fathers, the other father I was talking about, he demanded respect. And, you know, we as fathers, we do need respect. We need to be appreciated by our family, by our kids. But I have found, and all I want to do today is I just want to share something as a father and now I'm a grandfather. And I just want to share some things. You know, I raised my children like my dad and like my grandfather did. I was a pretty stern father, and at first I used to spank with a belt as they did. But I've learned something, and what I've learned is fathers need respect, but respect is built by love and as we live our example. What is loving behavior? And as I mentioned, our Father God has given this example for this. For instance, in John 3:16, John wrote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You know, I don't know about you, but because of my strict upbringing, sometimes I feel like I'm never doing enough. I'm not being good enough. But what we need to understand is that our Father is not standing in judgment over us. He's standing there to help us. He's there just saying, you know, all you got to do is ask me. I'm here to come into your life. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to counsel you. I'm here to bring love into your life. And God loved us so much that he sent his only Son. And he loved us enough to give the loving sacrifice of his Son. That's how much he loved us. I don't know how that makes you feel, but to think that God came in the flesh and he walked in our culture, he walked seeing our habits, he experienced hate, he experienced abuse, but he also experienced love. And in all of this, rather than, because he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he just showed us love, and he loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. He sacrificed for us. And Christ didn't come, again, as the big king that wanted us to bow our knees to him, but rather he came as a servant. And in Mark 9, it says, "They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked his disciples, 'What were you arguing about on the road?' But they kept quiet on the way. They argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12, and he said, 'If anyone wants to be first, he must be very last and the servant of all.'" And what my Father has shown me in my years is that if I want to be a good father, I need to learn how to be the servant of all. You know, I grew up thinking, hey, when I get married, I'm going to have my wife and I'm going to have my kids. They're going to do what I say. You know, I'm going to sit in my easy chair and they're going to come and serve me. And you know what? I was stupid enough when I first got married that I did some of that. Anybody as dumb as me? But Jesus came as loving, as our Father. He came as our Savior. He came as a servant to say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And the other thing that Jesus did, he lived a lifestyle of love. Oh yeah, there was times he rebuked people. He rebuked them to try to get them to wake up. Hey, wake up, you know. The things that people were doing, it upset him so much because instead of helping people, often they hurt people. If we go to Ephesians 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. We are members of his body. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. You know, there's a pattern here that is consistent with the Lord, and it's a pattern that we as men should show our families. Excuse me, my ear is getting kind of funny. It's terrible when you get old, you can't hear anymore. This section of scripture was one that really spoke really, really loud to me. And I, as a father, sometimes it's too late. You look back and how am I treating my kids? How am I treating my wife? How am I treating my family? And again, what it spoke to me was, again, the servanthood of Christ. Who am I as a father? You know, as a young man, a young father, I sort of wanted to demand respect and to be shown that I was the boss of the family. But what Jesus showed me, if you want to be the greater servant, if you want to be the greater father, then you need to learn how to love and how to humble yourself and how to serve your family instead of making them serve you. There's principles here in this section of scripture that we can continue to live. In fact, as this was to be sort of a talk from an old father to everybody, that we should be this way towards our family, but it's also us, how are we treating each other? Are we being the servant? Are we being the master and demanding that everybody do what we want? And Jesus called us to be the master, and to be the servant, and as we're the servant, as we begin to live the pattern of servanthood in love, fully confident of knowing who we are in Christ, we're children of God in Christ, you know, we're not a weakling, but we have strength in Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But if we realize who we are in Christ, that we have the Godhead, we have God on our side, and if we pray according to his will, whatever we ask, we shall have it, it says in John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. You know, we are children of God, and instead of being haughty and think we know it all, we can be servants, we can serve and help those around us. And as fathers, that's what we should model to our children. We need to follow the love actions of Jesus, even as he mentioned here. For instance, one of the points I saw here was that there's a foundation. As Jesus surrenders everything that he was as a God and became a servant, he gave his life, he surrendered everything. And how many times have we surrendered everything to our kids, or rather we ask and demand of them? And what I mean by surrendering is to look at them and see what their needs are. You know, the affection that they needed. My father was not very affectionate. That, I was sad for that. And I told my mom when I graduated from high school, she asked me, you know, as I was leaving home, and I told her, you know, one thing I miss out of Dad is he never gives any hugs. Next time I saw him, he just came in and gave me a bear hug, you know. But I miss that, and we need that. I know with my kids growing up, I had my oldest son, he was about 16 or 17, and he'd like to get in my face. And so instead of me being, you know, repulsed by that and being upset and him not showing respect, I would just give him a big hug. And he's, oh, don't hug me. And I says, I will hug you until you die because you're my son and I love you. You know, and that's sort of the spirit of Jesus, that he wants us to be that type of person. He laid down his life, and we should lay down our lives for our family. The other thing I see is his words always give life and hope and build up the hearer. You notice it says he gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. He washed her with the water of the word. What do we say to our kids? I remember somebody telling me that I was stupid, that I was lazy, that I was a dimwit. You know, you hear these as a kid and they form you. They stick with you and you begin to put you down. But what I needed to hear is like that old lady who had the twins and she was pushing them in the stroller, and she meets a friend as she's walking downtown and she's, oh, have you met my two children? This one here, I mean, the kids are like 3 years old. This one here is the doctor and this one here is a lawyer. You know, his words always give us hope and life. You know, how do we see our kids? The Lord always sees what he is doing in us. He's trying to change us. He's not nitpicking and cutting us down and rebuking us all the time because we've made stupid mistakes and we've sinned and we've erred, but rather he reminds us of his loving grace. How much he loves us, and how that if we would trust him, His Holy Spirit would lead us into a life that can touch people around us. He focuses not on failures, but on what He is creating in us. He does not look at our blemishes, mistakes, selfishness, but He keeps focusing at what He is creating in us as we would yield to His loving advances. And there's another thing that's not in this particular scripture, but He is on our side, always interceding for us. It says in Romans 8:31, Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right-hand side of God, who also intercedes for us. What a Father we have. And have we been that way for our kids? And, you know, I've noticed coming back and visiting with you all, there's a lot of you grandpas and grandmas in this congregation. And, you know, we get the opportunity. We don't always have to live with our grandkids, you know. As I know sometimes my grandkids are hyper and they kind of drive me bananas. But, you know, I can be there and I can play with them and I can sacrifice my time and I can speak life into them. Instead of cursing them, I can bathe them with words of acceptance and love. I can begin to speak into their life and begin to forecast a special future on them and say, you know, you're a smart kid. And you have a, and you know, look at what his interest or her interest and say, I see this in you. You can become this type of person. We can be prophetic in giving them a special future. Well, my eyes are getting a little tired. I got to see what I'm reading. In mentoring, we teach and learn best by example. And I can't say that I've always been the best. I've tried to, but sometimes I'm too interested in getting my own agenda done. And, you know, Jesus had an agenda that he had to do, but he was very conscious of the people around him and very perceptive, and he would speak into their lives. And that's the type of father that we need to begin to be perceptive of the people that are around us, especially our children and grandchildren, to speak into their lives. Our focus in training, discipline, and in mission is always as a mentor. Have you thought of yourself that way? We're always a mentor when we're around our children and our grandchildren. In fact, we're always a mentor when we're around anybody that needs help. The Holy Spirit taught me some tough lessons regarding respecting those I was leading, including my children, because of my strictness. And as I studied the word in Ephesians 6:4, it says, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training or discipline and admonitions of the Lord. And then also in Colossians 3:21, it says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. And being a hard father, I learned what spirit am I putting in my kids? How am I affecting them? And what I learned that training is seldom physical discipline. There's a time for that. But training, I thought, you know, to discipline your children, it was chastisement. But one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me as my kids were getting into their teen years, and I was frustrated with, you know, teenagers and how they test you at every turn. And I was frustrated, and I, Lord, what do I do? And you know, I got a board, and I was going to have him bend over and hold his ankles and give him a good swat because he needed it. And the Lord said to me, would you discipline your congregation this way? Would you tell your members of your church, hey, you've been bad, so bend over, I'm going to give a swat? Nobody's laughing. Well, it wasn't funny either. It was a serious thing. And I said, no, Lord, I wouldn't do that. He responded, that is the true meaning of the word. Mentor your child in the ways of the Lord as you would mentor your disciple. Are you hearing me today? You know, do we love our kids? You know, we're the parent. Hey, I have my rights. We're the parent. They should do what I say when I say. You know, if I say jump, they say how high. And the Lord says, is that the way you'd raise up a congregation? Is that the way you would teach others? Do you love your children? Do you respect them as an individual? Do you recognize their talents and abilities? And are you promoting and encouraging that? Or are you putting them down and making them do what you want to do? I also learned that training is mostly by example. It's mentoring, guiding, and coaching. Mentoring, guiding, and coaching. The pattern is, I do it, and you see me do it. And then you and I do it together. And then, now you do it, and I will watch you. I'll be there for you. And sometimes you'll make a mistake, but I won't be there to hack you up into pieces, but I will be there to lift you up and say, okay, how can we do this better? You know, if you aren't doing that, let me read what I wrote down. If you aren't doing it, what you are teaching, if you're not doing what you're teaching, they sure won't do it. If we're not the pattern, if we're not the example, then as they grow up, they're not going to be doing it. And then one other thing that I learned as I was pastoring, I read, Gary Smalley, and he had a book about the blessing. Anybody ever read the book about the blessing? It's a good book to read by Gary Smalley. We need to continually be giving them the blessing. Even Jesus did that. You know, he loves his church. He obeys the church. He gave him the church's word. And he does that to us all the time. And there, Gary Smalley gives five things, and I just want to quickly touch on them. It could be a sermon in itself, but I just want you to think about this. Is five parts of the blessing. One is meaningful touching. Meaningful touching. I used to go to Juliana, my daughter. She's here today. And I said, okay, so what's a meaningful touch to you? And at that time, it's just give me a hug. You know, that's all. Don't do it. Is that right? You just give you a hug? Yeah. You know, there's some things. So we got to find out what's meaningful to our kids. Play with them. Play with your kids. Go hiking with them. Do things. Spend time with them. And that's one of them. One of them is give them an active commitment to time. Plan on spending time. We're so busy proving ourselves. We're so busy trying to do the job, trying to impress our employer or, you know, make a living that we forget that we are discipling and mentoring our children. And we need to have an active commitment, if need to be, a scheduled time when we spend time with them doing what they would like to do. Another thing is a spoken message, meaningful conversation, not when we're talking at them, but where we're listening and talking to them on things that are of interest to them. Grandkids. That's what I got to learn. They're so jumping and they so play and it's hard to put them down. And I just, sometimes it's good to find out, what are you thinking? Are you having problems? What do you like to do? You know, and get interested in what they do. And then another part of the blessing is words expressing high value of love and acceptance. A lot of times, you know, my father rarely said, I love you. And I needed to hear that. I don't know about you, but I need to hear somebody say, Phil, I love you. I really appreciate you. I like you being around. You know, some people are around and you have to say, it's time for you to go home. But, you know, our kids need to hear us say, I love you. I appreciate you. We need to express high value. You know, I see your talents and abilities. You can be this if that's what you wanted to do. You have the talents and abilities. We need to speak into them. And then prophetically, as Christians, you know, our words are important. That's another sermon. Our words are important of what we speak. We can either speak life or we can speak death. And we need to speak prophetically of a special future about them. You know, what talents do they have? What abilities do they have? They can do it if they're in the Lord. They can do all things. Finally, how are you doing? What do you want to, when you die, what do you want people to remember you by? I want to leave my kids with a legacy. I need to be the example, and I haven't always been the example, but I want to be the example that they can follow. You know, my mom, I always watched her, and she'd be doing her devotions. I watch my wife, she does her devotions every morning, and sometimes I'm haphazard of that. But what do my kids see about me? I want to be a man of God. I want to be a man of prayer. I want them to see that. And it's by example. We need to leave a legacy for our children. Then the other thing we need to remember is that our children are not ours. Hello. Our children are not ours. They are a gift from the Lord. And the Lord, for some reason, has thought we were good enough to mentor these children. And we need to remember that we are mentoring the children that God gave us. How are we doing? And we may be old, we may have done a wrong job, bad job of it, but you know, as we get older, we can change and we can begin to focus our thinking of being that mentor, of being that loving person, of the one who speaks a special future, of the one who does things and gives them value by our times with them. It is our privilege that the Lord trusts us with his kids. He has given us to them. He has given us them to mentor into his likeness. We need to remember that, you know, as you go home today, you know, Father, how can I be a better mother? How can I be a better father? And maybe there's a friend. How can I be a better friend that you put into my life to be a mentor, to be a help, to be a blessing? Today's Father's Day. Thank you. My daughter woke up, said, "Happy Father's Day," and she hugs me. I love my daughter. She makes me feel good. She's good to be around. It's a day to show love and respect and thankfulness to our fathers. And if you haven't done that, give your dad a call, or if he's gone, you know, encourage those around you. But you need to remember that Christ's lifestyle is a pattern for us as fathers. It's a pattern of how I treat my wife. It's a pattern of how I treat my children, my grandchildren. You know, God has given us a privilege and a charge to raise his gifts in his ways. He trusts you. He trusts me. Remember that we are affecting them and we're raising them for eternity. Have you ever thought about that? That as we are with our children, as we're with our grandchildren, that we have an opportunity to affect them for eternity. We need to remain close to the Lord, sensitive to his spirit, so we can receive directions of things to do and to not do. We need to be patient, not give up. Paul says in Galatians 6:9, he says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." In order to gain respect from our children as well as our wife, and to be a great father, we must learn to be the servant of all in love. So I hope you hear my heart today. You know, I thought, what do I want to share? And Mike says, it's Father's Day, and that's the only thing that kept being a father. And, you know, I look at myself, and as Julie knows, she knows my daughter, she knows the mistakes I've made. And I hope I'm still improving. I'm still trying. I'm learning, you know. But how are you doing? You know, today we're going to finish the service, and you're going to go home. But if you've been abused or hurt, if you've been abused or hurt by your father, or maybe you've just done a bum job of being a father, a parent, I invite you, as we close the service, to come on up front. I want to pray with you. And I know there's other leaders that will come up front and help me pray with you. But don't go home feeling under any condemnation or anything. But know that we have another opportunity today. It's Father's Day. It can be a reminder of what we can be, what we can do. We can be a father to children around us. And maybe they're not your children you can be a father to. Maybe it's someone else's children that are around that you see that maybe have been neglected, and you can maybe step in and start showing some love and begin to speak into their life God's word and God's truth and his life. You know, so today's Father's Day, and my father's gone. My mother's gone. My brother Tim, some of you know, was here, and he's gone. But as long as I have life, I want to be a father. I want to be a help. I want to be a grandfather. And I know that's probably your help, too. You can be a grandmother. Ladies, this applies, you know. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for what you've done. You sent Jesus to die for our sins, but not only to die for our sins, but to be an example, to be a model. And Father, sometimes we feel like we can never be as good as Jesus. But Father, we can follow that pattern. We can lay down our lives in love for those that we influence, for those that we've raised. Father, we can be a father. We can be a loving father. We can be a sacrificial father. We can be a father who speaks blessing, a father who gives a special future, a father who can be a mentor. Father, help us in this. And Father, there may be people here who have been severely abused and growing up by their fathers, by their parents. And Father, we pray for them too. Father, we pray that you would hold them in your arms, that you would love them as they've never been loved before. When they hear the word God, they think of Father, and all they can think of is maybe bad memories. But Father, we want a new memory for them. We want to know that you, the Father, have died for them, that you continually work in their lives. You've never forsaken them nor left them. Father, we pray for them, and we thank you so much for your love. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Happy Father's Day. And fathers, go to it.